Gotcha. Oh, man, you shot me again. We have been really busy. So now let's get on with building apps with Azure. We've got our final session, building apps with ASP.NET Jumpstart. We've got our final session here looking at going further with Windows Azure. Then we'll do a final wrap up at the end. So if we can go to the slides here. Okay, so here's a quick agenda of what we're going to look at, and I'm just going to quickly tour you. Windows Azure has quite a bit to offer, a lot of different, more advanced features. I showed you Windows Azure websites earlier. So what I explained that I like about it is that it's very easy to spin up a site and deploy something really quickly and get a yellow screen of death in my case, but F5 fixed that, so there we go. So I want to show Azure Sign Up. We want to look at just some different ideas for things that I and Scott have used Windows Azure websites for. And then I just want to point out some other things that I think are cool: mobile services, virtual machines, and then the Azure Store, and I'll show you a quick demo with that. So first of all, this is the world's simplest Azure Sign Up demo, but I just want to explain that it really is pretty easy to sign up for this. So there's a free trial. I've got a screenshot of this page that shows that there's a spending limit, which is zero. So when you create a new account, it will spend $0 until you go in and check a box that says, yes, please spend my money. So even though there is a spot in the sign-up process where they require a credit card for verification, they're not going to spend money on that card until you say, go ahead. So just good to know, you know. So here there's this, you go to windowsazure.com, you click on free trial, you click on a little wizard, you verify your account. So first they do a text verification or a call verification. Then you do fill in a credit card. Again, they could bill you with that if you do want services, but if you just want to use it for verification, that's all they'll ever use it for. Then you get the little Knight Rider progress bar, and then there you go, and here's your portal. So that's the sign-up process, literally like a five-minute process.
For me, when I signed up for Azure on my personal account.
Yep.
You can actually, we'll log in and I'll show people. But when I did that, I was afraid that it was going to cost me a lot of money.
Right.
Right. And you know, people who have MSDN licenses actually have hours that they can burn. Mm-hmm. You can go and say, I only want to do stuff, you know, up to a certain spending limit, and they'll warn you if you're about to do something that's going to cost money.
Yeah.
They'll let you know. So even though you need a credit card to sign up and authenticate your identity, mm-hmm. you get 10 free Azure websites. And then if you try to scale it up to something like, you know, extra large or whatever, it's going to say, well, you need to turn off your spending limit if you want to
right.
do that.
Exactly. So all throughout the UI, anywhere that you would incur charges, it's going to warn you first.
It'll warn you every time. So the first thing is that there's always that concern that you're going to wake up with a $1,000 bill.
Right.
That kind of stuff doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
Certainly if you have, for example, a small website, it'll tip over before you'll wake up with
$1,000
bill.
Last year we had this ASPConf conference. It was an online conference. And I think for that day, we put a bunch of reserved instances up. I think we spent about $7 that day.
Yeah. So what is actually off? I'm yelling off camera here. What did Fowler pays what on SignalR? Is it, how much does he spend a month?
For Jabber, rather.
That's
single digits.
Couple, 20 bucks, 10 bucks? Yeah. So Jabber, the chat client that we heard about, he's spending, you know, 10 bucks a month.
Yeah.
So the point is that you can get a lot done. And I'm also finding, actually, it's hard to hijack your talk, but when I started doing really aggressive caching, mm-hmm. or even small amounts of caching, it was making a difference in my bill. So you'll find yourself writing your software with money in mind.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Which is good, right? Because you're more efficient that way.
Right. So when I did my podcast sites, I said to myself, well, they only change when there's a new podcast. So I'll go and I think I put it on an hour. So I call the database and I cache the data for an hour. Mm-hmm. So they effectively cost me nothing.
Right.
I think one of my podcasts cost me 29 cents. Because it really doesn't do anything.
Right.
It's short of being a static site. It's not. It calls SQL Compact Edition.
Yeah.
Which is another way that I save money. I use SQL Compact.
You don't need to use a full SQL Server mm-hmm. installation. You use Compact.
I've even heard of people using JSON flat files as databases. For small sites like this, if you're doing like, you know, church schedule or kids little league, it doesn't have to be a whole extra large VM and a lot of SQL servers.
Right, right. Cool. Okay, so let's talk about a site that I've gotten to use Azure websites on. So this is devcamps.ms. Here's this DevCamps site. This is a lot of the content Scott and I are talking about is available on this devcamps.ms site. So you know, as we're the way we work on this, we've got this as it's an MVC4 application. Like you said, we have a caching layer, and then we're able to, you know, go through and monitor and spin it up and down. So I can go in here and scale it. So for instance, on days or, you know, when we have events going on, I can go in and dial that up, and I can say I would like this to have, you know, right now it's on a reserved instance. So that means it's got more memory available, more scaling. But I can put this down to shared or free. So during times that you're not expecting a lot of traffic, you can scale down. I think that's more, that's as important as the ability to scale up is to scale back down afterwards, right?
Now, the free websites, you have whatever your site is, .Azure websites at the end.
Yep.
.net. So I've got a free website for, like, my my pan-tilt zoom camera.
Yeah.
That effectively costs me nothing because it's a free. Doesn't have a database, it just runs Jabber, it does some stuff. So for sites like that, no problem. But when I switched two of my podcasts over to Azure, I needed to do managed domains, or I needed to switch it to a non-free state.
Right.
That immediately made me concerned about costs.
Yeah.
It has not been a big deal. They're extra small. But it's nice to know that if it ever hits Hacker News or whatever, you run in, you up it, and everything's cool.
It's
just
not,
like we saw with SignalR.
Right. It's not like your site's down for hours while you're trying to get your hosting company on the phone. You literally click a button and scale up to as many as you want. So I thought that was just one nice scenario there, is scaling up and down as needed. Another one also on devcamps.ms is QA and staging. So this ability to spin up a new site, or as many, you know, spin up, you get 10 free sites, you can get others for very cheap. So the ability to just spin up a new site is really handy. So when I'm going to show here, we've got DevCamps, but we've also got DevCamp staging. So actually on DevCamp staging, the team is working on the next release. They're working on the next design of it. We've got DevCamps QA as well. So we manage these. We're using the Git deploy feature. And so we manage these using different branches in Git. So right now here I'm showing production branch, we've got a master branch. And so I go through, you can see the commit history on the right. So I go through and I, you know, make my changes, verify them locally, merge master into stage or QA, merge master into production. So we've got this, you know, really quick to be able to flop back and forth between all of these and manage them in one code base. So that's really pretty handy. And I like the idea of, you know, QA staging, maybe you need to show something to a client. Where the URL isn't important, you know, here's a public site, check it out.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also the ability, of course, to, you know, push the old crap button.
Right. Yeah, so that's huge. Let me show you that. So if we go into deployments, since this is Git deployed, this is going to show a list of different deployments that we've got.
So you have DevCamp, hopefully. And then you have staging.
Yes.
And then you deploy with Git, so there's the active one. But if you say that that added a bug.
Right. So then I could go into a previous one. I'm not going to do this because I don't want to ruin somebody's day.
Yeah,
but I could go down here and I can view the log and I can redeploy this one. So if I click
then I would
cause someone to wonder what went wrong, right? But this would, so having that history as I'm going through and Git deploying throughout the day, then I can go back and I can roll back to any previous version, which is nice to have that completely built in. One other cool, you know, thing that you can do with Azure websites. Again, with the ability to just spin up a site really easily, is kind of single-serving sites. So, you know, I'm able to, you know, I can build a big site. We talked about Jabber and some of your podcasts and all these, you know, larger sites. That's fine. But the ability to just run up a single-serving site. So here's one I did to show off the Web API help pages. So in the 2012.2, I just wanted to show, you know, here's, and I linked to this in a blog post. So rather than, you know, I like the idea that the web is an active thing, and when we're talking about the web, instead of just blogging screenshots, I want to try and get into the idea of actually linking to running demos. And so this is just, you know, my first kind of look at this, but this was file new project, create site, publish. So, you know, kind of a neat way to, you know, again, this is something where I actually want a long URL for this. It's descriptive, and, you know, I've got several of these as I'm cranking them out. Okay. Now, the store is one other kind of neat thing. So I'm going to show you that. I will tour quickly through.
And I recently worked on the store. If you look at the build event last year, you can go up on Channel 9. There's lots of videos. We did Channel 9 Live, which is a lot like this. We had an actual studio. And we had folks from New Relic that are in the Azure store. We had folks from SendGrid that are in the store. We had folks from Mongo Labs all there. Yeah. And I got to play with those things. I actually sat down with my buddy Rob Connery, and we set up a Mongo lab, and we were doing some stuff.
Yeah.
And then if you sign up with some of these places, you'll get big deals. So, like, for example, you get SendGrid, you get like 25,000 emails or something like that. Some huge number.
So that's funny. I actually was going to talk about both New Relic and SendGrid. We had a question this week from an MVP at MVP Summit, and he was asking, you know, what can I do? I like Azure websites, but I need some kind of SMTP service. My old, you know, hosting had that, and what should I do? And Brady Gaster, who's on chat answering questions, he said, sign up for SendGrid, and they'll give you this free support, and it was plenty for all that he needed. So he actually got a free deal just going in and doing this add-on. Another one in here, and so, you know, look at some of the different ones that are available. If I click on new, and then I click on, let me see, services, app services. No, excuse me. Forgetting where it's at now. Store, there it is, right in front of me.
Exactly.
So on store, I've got app services and I've got data. So app services are all these kinds of things that, like, you know, other database types, or like New Relic, I'll show in a second, or scheduling, or SendGrid, which is great for email. And then data, there's all these data services for things like translation, IP lookup, phone number validation, all that kind of thing. So the one I want to show is New Relic, and New Relic is a great monitoring system. So I actually went in here and I said, add New Relic to an existing site that I had. And it gave me some instructions on, you know, add this NuGet package and add a few lines of code in to write out debugging information.
Mm-hmm.
So they have HTML helpers that work right inside of that. And so what's cool about this is it's not just that I get an account, but it's actually single sign-on managed with my Windows Azure account. And if I'm paying anything, I'm not. This is a free standard account. But if I did have to pay something, they'll roll that bill all up into one bill. So I don't have bills to all my different vendors. So here I've got this New Relic one. So, you know, if I can, it'll give me information here. If I click on manage, this is single sign-on taking me over to my New Relic account. So this is for a simple Twitter app. It's I'm not even going to bother. You know, it just looks like this, and it goes through, and it has some caching features and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what's cool about New Relic is it actually really instruments the code, and it shows off quite a bit of information about what's going on. And it can show things like external services calls. So in here, I'm going to set this to 24 hours. I was playing around on this a bit over the last day. So this is going to roll this up, and it'll show some things like, what transactions were going on. So obviously the home page was doing some things, but what about optimization? So it actually shows the bundle handler.
Mm.
So now check this out. This is crazy. It's actually showing in here inside, you know, the actual like .NET.
Wow, things. So it gets you a full call stack.
Yeah.
How much time it's spending where.
Exactly.
And how many milliseconds on average. So
right.
It looks like if you look on the left-hand side there,
mm-hmm.
that really bundling is the least of your problems.
Bundling is not a big deal, right? It's the Twitter feed index, which I'd
expect.
And
where is all that work happening?
That's the actual the Twitter app. This is where everything kind of is. But yeah,
so the waiting.
Exactly. So here, you know, this is showing exactly what's in there. That's doing that. Now here's a couple of other quick things I want to show off on here. One is if we look at if I go to monitoring, and I look at map is kind of fun. So map actually shows a map of my application code, like a conceptual map of it. So I can go in here and I can actually see what is going on. So here, for instance, I'm making API calls. And this is showing that, as you'd expect, the majority of my API, you know, effort is calls off to api.twitter.com.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll show, you know, what kind of. So then I can go in and I can say if I'm working with multiple vendors or services, I can see what kind of services I should optimize. This literally is like add NuGet package, put in a couple of HTML helpers. This is free. So, I mean, pretty slick way to get a lot of advanced statistics off of a site. One other thing I want to show if this is loaded is this shows, you know, all these response times, but it actually would also show, I forget where this is, there's a map where it'll actually show geographically where people are viewing from. So you can go in, here it is. So worldwide we can see, well, I was the only one that viewed it recently. But it'll show you down to how much activity in each city.
Right, and this gives you more insight, though, because the application is instrumented. So you could use like a Google Analytics or something like that. You can get ideas of where people are located. But you can also find out, for example, if people from a certain place are getting certain kinds of errors. You can really dig in and exploit the information that they're giving you.
Right, because it's actually looking down to the system level call stack kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, no, that's really it. I wanted to just kind of run through. Actually, you were saying you've got some
I'll show you just a couple things.
Switch
over here real quick. I'll just show you a couple quick things. I moved a couple of sites over. Let me... here we go. So this is my personal Azure one. Both John and I don't use. There's no work, unlimited.
Right.
Microsoft guy, unlimited Azure thing.
Yeah.
This is mine. So I've got my SendGrid account, and I've got my app services. There's a number of different websites. This is a podcast that I do. Here's a game that I wrote called Baby Smash. Mm-hmm. There's the Nerd Dinner website. My phone application. Stuff like this. We've got different virtual machines for Hansel Minutes and things like that. And I can also go out to the command line and type in Azure site list and then access that same amount of information from the command line. So here we're making a RESTful API call to go and find those different things. So I could say Azure site create foo and make a site.
Yep.
Azure site delete, God forbid. Make VMs, do all sorts of stuff. And the Azure command line tools are nice because they actually run cross-platform. They're actually written in JavaScript. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Node person, if you like Node, if you have the package manager, you can type in npm space install azure-cli. So if I wanted to install Azure, I would say npm install azure-cli. And that gives me the Azure cross-platform command line stuff.
Right.
Or I can go up to WindowsAzure.com and I can download the bits that will fit into Visual Studio. But I really like doing stuff from the command line. Mm-hmm. I can go in here and I can make VMs, I can do mobile services and check logs. Being able to like get my logs and do a tail on the logs so that I'm seeing what's happening as it's going on.
Yeah.
And one thing to point out also that there's a number of different subscriptions that I've got. I've been doing the 3-month trial and things like that. But I also have an MSDN subscription. And I'll go ahead and view my bill. Going into MSDN has really been very valuable because mm-hmm. you get, like, I think it's like 700 hours.
You know, I don't know what it is.
I'm not sure the exact amount.
It's a huge amount.
It's a ridiculous amount. And I know people think that MSDN subscriptions are really expensive, but let's just take a look. This is my real bill for my real site. We've got when the next bill is going to be and how much it's been. And you'll notice here, it's almost like having rollover minutes with, like, your phone. I just never seem to reach the amount that I would need. And this is the number you really want to think about. It's those compute hours.
Yeah.
How hard are these things working, right? If I go back to my billing history, with all this stuff, with all my sites and all these different things, even VMs I've forgotten to turn off at night.
Right, right.
So far, on what I'm doing, it's only cost me 29 cents. Now, I know that my bosses probably wouldn't want you to show that, but that's because the MSDN subscription,
yeah,
which includes my Visual Studio and things like that, has been enough to do all of this work, which has been really cool for me.
Right.
I've really enjoyed it.
So the takeaway there is if you've got MSDN, that's really, you should be taking advantage of those services.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I can just tell you for real that our website, This Developer's Life, I encourage you to check it out.
Yeah.
And as well as my Ratchet and the Geek, all of these run in Azure. They work great. Very happy with them, and they're all HTML5. In fact, we wrote these with WebMatrix.
Great. Okay, I wanted to show one last thing to wrap up this Azure talk. If we can switch back to my machine for a second. So this was something Damian showed me earlier today. Somebody watching our talk thought it was fun, and they spun up scottwillpullthrough.azurewebsites.net. Right. So there's Scott. Here they're recommending some Ricola, and they said he can do it. And
cool. So this is. Who put this up?
This was Tyler Brinks.
Tyler Brinks put that up. So he's actually playing along.
Yes.
Playing the home version of Jumpstart.
Yeah. And
put that site up.
Here's a funny thing. So Damian Edwards posted the link. The site got 1290 hits, and he hit his quota. So he actually just scaled the site up. He did a one click scale.
And the site's still online.
Up the site, and the site's still online.
Well, let's be careful. So, we don't cost him lots of money.
Yeah, exactly. Cost
Sorry.
Him more than 29
Call me, Tyler.
All right. yeah, that's it for this. Let's go to a wrap-up. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for hanging out, too, Damien.
Welcome. Yeah. It was great fun. I enjoyed it.
All right, let's go over. You want to? I'm going to grab that for you. Sure.
All right.
So let's look at the incredibly intense conclusion. Check the slides. What have we learned today?
Let's go to the slides.
What have we learned today at the Azure? The Azure and the ASP.NET jump starts. What can you do next? And who can you contact for help? I don't know who that is, actually.
I have no idea who you're trying to be right now.
Maybe, I don't know. Not an Australian.
You learned Visual Studio.
Today we learned about Visual Studio. It's groovy, fantastic Visual Studio. We all love it. It's great, great, great. I love Visual Studio. NuGet, it's great. It's been 8 hours of free training. I think I get a right to do. I get a right to do a couple of really bad impersonations. Yeah. And I would like to talk to you about some NuGet and the ASP.NET and the Windows Azure
and the pudding
with the thing. So we saw web forms, we saw web pages, and I hope that we saw this idea of one ASP.NET.
Yeah.
One ASP.NET. It all fits together.
It's one big happy family.
A lot of things working together. Yep.
SignalR went from being an open source project to being an open source project that now ships, fully supported.
Right.
NuGet, open source. Web API, MVC, open source, but also fully supported inside of Visual Studio.
Can I just point out one real quick thing that I think is related? Can you go to the camera real quick? All three of us, before we worked for Microsoft, were what?
We had hair.
Well, yes. We were ASP.NET MVPs, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
And your boss is an ASP.NET MVP.
We're not A.
And I think that a lot of the Microsoft, or the ASP.NET team is former MVPs. And that's my theory, that's why a lot of the open source and friendly one
that's
ASP.NET.
That's why we rock? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's why things are getting so...
I think it's because we're turning the ship.
Yeah, I guess it's that, you know, we were MVPs.
It has nothing to do with, let me interrupt you. It has nothing to do with the MVP program.
No, what I'm saying.
It has to do with, I'm going to stay here and keep pulling on the wheel until it turns or I fall off the ship.
Yeah, or break it trying to
turn. Or break the wheel off doing it.
Exactly. I guess my point was that we built sites and experienced pain and ran into things we wanted changed and wanted things open source.
We try, yeah.
And then we got invited to come into Microsoft and try and fix things. So let's go back to your slides.
That's nice. So it's one ASP.NET. It's a framework for all. We are moving in a direction that I hope that you guys appreciate. But we also have to remember that the web moves faster. So we want to make sure that we're building services that will work with the things that the web are doing. So if you are going to be an Angular person and you like nhibernate and you like NancyFX and you've never heard of any of these things, know that they are all alternatives.
Yeah.
You can feel free to use the ones that make you happy. That's what it comes down to. We learned that Visual Studio supports HTML5, that you can write HTTP services. I learned that you can do apps for Office,
which is nuts.
Which is nuts. We made a really cool website that actually ran offline, worked in a browser. We also saw that Visual Studio supports mobile emulators now. You can go and download ASP.NET and WebTools 2012.2, get all those new features. You can check out our friends at Electric Plum for their stuff. We saw social apps, both logging in and also abusing privacy.
Right.
Maybe the most exciting one for me, I think.
Really?
The live debugging. Everyone loves
it. Oh, you like the live debugging?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So many things broke today. It's just, you know, you're going to have to be more specific.
Right.
And then, to cap it all off, we saw how SignalR can bring real time to all of these applications, which is super fun.
Absolutely.
Yep. Super fun. So what can you do? Go out there, get VS. 90% of what we showed you guys, maybe 95%, can be done with the free version of Visual Studio. So I encourage you that if you are maybe feeling that you don't want to spend any money, we're not trying to sell you anything. Mm-hmm. Great thing that working for our group is effectively everything is free.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Once you've got a copy of Windows, you can get yourself a copy of Visual Studio, go out there and play with ASP.NET, have a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Get involved with the community. That's the icon for NuGet. Check out NuGet.org. Make a package. Contribute to open source. There's lots of great things out there, and it is the community that makes us great. And then hopefully grow. If you decide to go and start do a startup, maybe join the BizSpark program, get an MSDN license, scare your site up. Maybe somebody will tweet it.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? So if you need help, here's a list. This is just kind of maybe take a screenshot for all the humans on this list. We are not frontline support.
No.
Nicely done. But we are interested in your feedback. We are interested, and we do take stuff. You guys know me, and you know that I take this stuff straight to the people who need it. Mm-hmm. We are not a replacement for support, but if you've got a problem, and it looks like we're going to be working on that or fixing it in a future thing, We want to hear about it.
Absolutely.
You find a limitation in SignalR.
Yep, we want to know.
You see an edge case in web forms. We want to know about it.
Yeah.
So that's why we're giving you these contact bits of information. Follow us all on Twitter. Please also check out that we're on ASP.net. We're on Twitter/ASP.net. We're on Facebook/ASP.net. There's a burgeoning Google Plus community.
Yep.
We are wherever you guys are, so we appreciate you all.
Yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, everybody. It's been a lovely jump start, and I am going to go have a big bowl of ice cream.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.